Hello, and welcome to Practice Made Perfect Storyteller Series. This series was a shared vision based on many member discussions and the desire to share stories about our lives, our passions, and what makes us a community. We know that the American College of Cardiology is the professional home for our cardiovascular care team, and we want to build on that. There are many changes happening in medicine as a whole that affect our members and are contributing to a loss of our collective community. We hope Practice Made Perfect Storytellers will be an opportunity to re-engage and reinvigorate our team around our shared interests in cardiology and life. Join me as we talk with Dr. Vani Ponce-Garg about her life, interests, and the role of dance and exercise in her life. Vani, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Allison. It's so wonderful to be here today.
For those of you who don't know Vani yet, she's a clinical assistant professor at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai and also serves as the associate program director for the Mount Sinai Morningside Cardiology Fellowship. Those are both amazing things, but what we're going to spend most of our time talking with Vani about today are her other interests outside of cardiology and how those keep her life in balance. Vani, you want to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As you mentioned, I'm currently at Mount Sinai Morningside, and I'm coming up on a year here. Before this position, I was fortunate to be in a similar role as an assistant professor and associate program director at Bronx Care Hospital in the Bronx, which is a Mount Sinai affiliate. I started off my education after high school in Boston and was there for both undergrad and medical school. And then from there came to New York City. So I was at Mount Sinai for both residency and fortunate to stay there for fellowship in their clinical program. So it was a joint program at Mount Sinai and Elmhurst Hospital in Queens. And then thereafter have started my position in academics. And on a personal level, I have now moved back into Manhattan. We were living in the outer boroughs in Queens for the last 4 years and Manhattan before that. I have a loving husband and two very active young children.
That's awesome. So you've definitely got a full life, it sounds like.
Very busy. My daughter is 5 and my son is 3. And they are wonderful spirits with a lot of energy.
Well, that's great. It always makes me excited to see women in medicine and especially in cardiology who are able to sort of balance a family life as well as a successful professional career. So I'm happy about that as an aside. I know you're very active and engaged in many activities, but can you tell us about your passion for dance and where that came from?
Sure. It's actually very interesting, sort of the trajectory it went on. I grew up in Connecticut and have an older brother and a younger sister. From my brother was a strong influence in sports. And so growing up, I knew every player on the 86 Mets and I could name them. We would watch their games. I grew up playing baseball, softball. And then once I went into high school, was a triathlete. And my favorite was field hockey. So when I went to college, I tried out for their field hockey team. I made it. And about a week into being on the team, I decided it really wasn't a right fit for me. So I wanted to stay engaged in sports and some sort of team activity where I would get exercise and be able to be with my peers. And so I tried out for a few different dance teams. And I did mostly hip hop and then also one form of Indian dance called Bhangra.
Well, that's fascinating. And I'm really not familiar with Indian dance. Maybe you could explain a little bit about that to us and our listeners.
Sure. So Bhangra is a type of dance form that comes from the Punjab region in the subcontinent, so in India and Pakistan. And it was traditionally a dance form done by farmers for their spring harvest. And in the fields, it was a way to communicate both with farmers at a distance and then also the farmers themselves a way to pass time. And so the dance form for me really came as a part of my whole life. My family is from Punjab. My parents emigrated here in the 1970s. And I always did the dance with family and didn't really think, you know, that it was anything beyond a way to celebrate with my family, with my parents and with my cousins. And when I went to college, I realized that it had become a larger entity. It was a dance form that had taken on a new life, rooted in history, but also now an intercollegiate competition. And so there were various dance organizations in the Boston area and also within the colleges and universities that had Bhangra dance teams. So my first year in college, I tried out for the team, had started with them, and we would travel around the country doing dance competitions. It was one of the best things I ever did in college. And a lot of that came out of the fact that we had practices 2 to 3 times a week, multiple hours a day. So Bhangra is really never performed or rarely performed by yourself. It's a group dance. And so I learned so much from my friends, from my instructors, the choreographers for the group, and how to work as a team, how to be physically challenged, and how to realize my own grace in dancing, and then also be able to have that come to light with my friends as a big group.
That's wonderful. When you think about sort of a sport or an activity that can go across your life, what you describe really has all the dynamics you're looking for, and it really teaches you valuable lessons. I'm very interested in that. So what do you do now? Are you still involved in formal groups?
So as an attending, I haven't been involved in any formal groups, but I've been in a few smaller dance troupes with dance classes and performances. So about a year and a half ago, we did one of our dance performances. And the awesome thing is, so one of my colleagues came to see the show and was just enamored with how, even though as an attending, I've been able to maintain doing dance and dance performances. And it was also funny because it's a program that has classes for children as well, so children and adult classes. And one of the other colleagues that was there recognized me, and she's an ER attending because her children are in the same dance program. And she was saying that it's so incredible to have adults participating, still managing the same work-life balance that everyone sort of talks about, but being able to do it both in what your passions have been all along and maintaining that, as well as seeing colleagues from the hospital up there on stage. So it was really a wonderful experience. And now with my kids, I think that's honestly the way that I maintain it the most. My daughter and my son love to dance. They dance all day long. All they want to do is listen to Indian music and do performances for us where we introduce their name and they walk onto stage proudly, stage being our TV room. And they have elaborate performances. And then when they finish the song, the next one jumps in and says, okay, it's my turn to be introduced.
That's wonderful. And really, I mean, when you think about it, what better way to find an activity that you love so much that you want to do it your entire life, starting in childhood? I love that. That's great. And I'm sure dance is a way for you to relieve stress. And being in New York during the COVID pandemic, I can imagine that was a fairly stressful time. Were you able to incorporate dance into this at all?
Yes. So, you know, with our fellows and being in New York City in April and May, we were definitely very deep into COVID and in the trenches. And my fellows especially, you know, they were truly the front line. And as a program director, associate program director, and with my colleagues, we tried so much to think of ways to help. And, you know, there was help clinically and support that we could provide. But one of the bigger focuses was how to make sure that they stayed well throughout all of this chaos. And so we had made a few programs for them. One was a yoga Zoom class that they could do. I had set up some dance Zoom sessions. So a few of them were through Bhangra Dance. And there's variable participation, but the fellows, I think, knew that they had potential outlets should they want to explore them. And another way was that I think so much of what was important during the pandemic, during the height of the pandemic, was being a role model for what we kept telling them, which was, this is tough, but you have to stay calm and we'll get through this. And one of the ways I tried to emulate that, I tried to model that, was that I ran to and from work every single day. And I would come to work, change into my scrubs, which most people were doing anyway, because everybody was cautious about bringing any of their clothes from the hospital home and vice versa. So I would run to work, be here in my full running sports gear, and all the fellows would see that and some would smile and chuckle. go change my clothes into scrubs, and then do our full day, full of stress, full of tension, but here as a team, and then change back into the same running clothes and go home, and then shower and do the whole, you know, decontamination routine that everybody was doing. And I think the most valuable part of all of that was the fellows knew that we were here for them. The fellows knew that we cared and that we were trying to both be available and be representative of what we were trying to support them with and support them for. So it was a stress relief for me, for sure. And I think and I hope that it was impactful for our fellows as well.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. And what a great role model to sort of, like you said, practice what you preach, get to be out and try to stay active during this time of intense stress and just uncertainty and everything that's gone along with the pandemic. I think that's wonderful and really something we should all try to focus on, making the time to do that. And I love the way that you incorporate it into your life otherwise. Well, Vonnie, what else would you like to tell us today? Is there anything that we've left out about this awesome hobby you have and how you've been using it to not only help yourself and stay healthy and motivated, but also using it to reach out to your fellows and your partners?
I think the most important thing I would say is that the sort of same themes that I see in what I felt in sports when I was growing up was, for some reason, I always gravitated towards group sports. And in those group sports were so challenging because I had to be very good and I had to also look at areas that I needed to improve. And then I had to incorporate that with the larger team. And then somehow in dance, I've always gravitated towards team dance as well and team configurations. And it was the same sort of theme, the same sort of idea of the fact that I love dance. I loved to know that I was being challenged and physically exerting myself, but all of that was in the context of the greater team. If I didn't perform well, the team wouldn't perform as well, but the main point was that the whole team had to work together. Thinking about, you know, dance and sports and how that has all played into my personal life and my sort of growth and development as a person and as a mother, I think so much of it has actually influenced how I think of my role here in cardiology, because my fellows are just the best everywhere I've gone, both the hospitals so far. They're just amazing. And it's not necessarily the individual person. It's the collection. It's the group. It's the fact that they're here to learn cardiology. They're in this sort of apprenticeship, and they're only going to be as good as the people who are training them, because our job is fundamentally to support and to teach and to educate and to show them this art of balance and care for patients, for coordinating with other teams, with other doctors, and with each other. It's interesting because actually until we had talked about this in more detail, I hadn't really thought that it made that much of an impact on how I am as an attending and how I am as an associate program director and how I interact with my fellows. But it's the true reason I've always loved to do team sports and team dance. And it's probably the reason my fellow asked me today, did you ever consider private practice? And I said, no, only because even in private practices, you have a team dynamic, and that's for sure. But I think one of my biggest strengths and one of my greatest passions is having this changing team dynamic that happens with trainees. And July and June are always those tough months because June they graduate, July there are new fellows. But it's one of the most exciting times of the year for me is when you get to see your fellows go on and do amazing things and know that you may have had a part of supporting that and hoping that you did. And then in July, seeing these new faces who are so eager to hear what you have to say and to be a part of the program and the team. And I think any way that you can figure out how to recognize that sort of art and beauty in yourself and then have that build towards the greater team is what keeps us afloat. It's what keeps us passionate in cardiology and in medicine.
Wonderful, wonderful words of wisdom and advice. And you can just hear the excitement in your voice when you're talking about your fellows and your job. So I'm so glad you're in medical education. We definitely need more medical educators like you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, I'll thank you again for joining us on the show. I'm sure all of our listeners have enjoyed listening to this discussion with you regarding the role of dance and activity in your life, and hopefully everyone's found some tips they can walk away with.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.